It might seem obvious at first, and on one hand it kind of is. In fact, in the very first verse, Jesus tells us why he tells us this parable, which this should work. Chris, can you click on the... Oh, I just turned it off, not on. My bad. So in the very first verse, Jesus tells us why we are... Hang on. Okay, maybe not. I'll just read it here. Sorry, I prepared this a few days ago, so I'm a bit rusty. Anyway, so then Jesus told his disciples a parable, here's the answer, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Case closed, right? Easy peasy. We understand what this parable is about. Like the widow who sought justice from the judge, we are to relentlessly come after God, almost nagging him with a constant bombardment of prayer. And eventually, God will answer us. Well, yes, we can and should be in prayer and talking to relate and relating to God all the time. And yes, we can and should ask him to help us. But to simply understand this parable as teaching that persistent prayer is a virtue falls short. This text can easily lead us to believe that like a frantic, persistent prayer, begging God to help us, is what Jesus wants us to do. This understanding is not entirely capturing what's really going on here. Sure, like I say, prayer is super important, and the opening line tells us that we are not to give up praying. But as always with Jesus, there is more. He's not simply demanding we do more or pray more. Jesus seeks to challenge us with how we think and how we feel. He's speaking to our hearts. Prayer can be a very hard thing to do. Sure, sometimes we do get answers and we do see God moving in incredible ways. But I suspect most of us, at times at least, have felt like giving up on prayer. You've prayed and prayed and prayed only to not have what you've asked for come to fruition. Maybe you've prayed for God to take something from you, be it illness, addiction, or some sort of struggle, and he doesn't take it away. You might have prayed for someone to know that you know to become a Christ follower, only for them to eventually die and never actually understand that Jesus is their Lord. You might have asked God to save someone from illness, only to have them to succumb to it and die. These are all very real struggles and can absolutely give us reason to doubt that God doesn't even hear us. This parable, though, it shows us that God does hear us and God wants to bring about justice for his people. God does answer prayer, but before we go any further, I'm going to blow my nose and then we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father God, thanks that we can be here yet again to uncover another tiny part of the Bible. We can't do it on our own. Please, Holy Spirit, enable us to understand the truth of the text this morning. Help us grasp what you're saying, God, and may we all leave here with a deeper understanding of who you are and who you've called us to be. Lord, have your way here with us this morning, for you are good, you are just, and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a closer look at the parable. Let's examine the two main characters, right? The first being the unjust judge. One of the first descriptions we have of the judge is that he does not fear God. This is actually a throwback to the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we see the appointment of judges. Now, for those familiar with their Bibles, know how well that turned out. We won't go there now for the sake of time, but what I will say is this. In the Old Testament, the very first and most important quality of a judge was to fear God. It says in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 19 that you do not judge to please the people, but to please the Lord. This unjust judge in the parable did not fear God. He was a judge who sought only to please himself, not God. He openly defied the primary qualification to be a good judge. Not only that, his reputation continues to decline, as Jesus explains further. In this parable, the unjust judge has no care for people. He does not care what they think. He does not love. He has no interest in others, only himself. The parable is very clear on this. as those doing the handling the word course, they will spot the repetition of the phrase, does not fear God or care what people think. We see this repeated phrase in verse 2 and 4. This is important, right? We're handling the word people, we know this, when it comes to understanding the Bible and the parable. So that's the character of the unjust judge. What about the other main character in the story, the unnamed widow? Now, as far as ancient Hebrew society goes, it was difficult to descend lower than a widow. They were defenseless, they were downtrodden, oppressed, and neglected. The life of a widow was an incredibly hard one. As men typically were the providers of income, they were the providers of security and legacy. If the man died, this left his wife, now widow, without any of these things. No income, no security, no future. This was the widow's lot in life. You might also notice how the widow has no name in the story, just mentioned once. The widow, right? No name, no status. This story is showing us a person who is an absolute nobody. This widow has no way to pay for legal fees, no way to have her voice heard, and no way to have justice served. And then to top it all off, think about our friend the judge. He was a sot of a man who had no regard for people, let alone some nameless, helpless widow. There is no way that this judge would ever hear her out. There is no way this judge would ever deliver justice for the widow. The only way the widow stood a chance at being heard was to relentlessly pester and nag this judge. And that is just what she did. There is no other way, no other approach that she could take. The only way to be heard was to, as the text says, keep coming to him. I can imagine knocking on the window at home, in the car park at his work, chasing him down the road, when he's walking the dog. Hey, you know, I can just imagine it. And what this method actually worked. The unjust judge had simply had enough. He couldn't take the badgering anymore. So, out of self-preservation, it's pretty obvious in the text, he finally and reluctantly granted her request and served justice. Now, up until fairly recently when reading this parable, I quickly found myself thinking that the unjust judge character is likened to God and the nameless widow is likened to God's people. I thought more or less like the widow, to persistently pray to God who will hear us. I don't think this is entirely incorrect thinking, but I think it is lacking. Having just looked into these two characters now, though, the unjust judge and the unnamed widow, there are some real problems with understanding the parable in that way, in comparing unjust judge and God and the nameless widow and us. There's some real problems there. The character of the unjust judge, that does not match up with God's character. Nor does a widow's character match up with who the Bible says God's people are. What then are we to do with this? Let's compare the character of the unjust judge with the character of God. God is nothing like the unjust judge, is he? Knowing we know about the judge in the parable, allow me to reel off a few characteristics of God I found associated with this text on enduringword.com. Our God is a righteous, wonderful judge. We come to a judge of perfect, good character. We come to a judge who loves to care for his children. We come to a judge who is kind and gracious. We come to a judge who knows us. We come to a judge with the right of constant access, to a judge who has personal interest in our case. These descriptions are nothing like the unjust judge in the story, are they? What about the widow? Throughout the Bible, there are many descriptions The Bible describes the people of God very differently compared to the nameless, helpless widow, doesn't it? Look at these verses with me. I'll just summarize them very briefly on the screen, but I'll read them here. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." Then 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." And then in John 1, verse 12, God gives those who believe in his name the right to become children of God. The Bible is full of wonderful descriptions of what God thinks of his people. He has adopted us as sons and daughters. He knows us each by name, and he loves us beyond comprehension. Again, this is nothing like the description of the nameless widow in the parable, is it? What difference then does this make to the way we understand this story? Well, I'd suggest it makes quite a difference. Jesus isn't teaching that the only way to be heard by God is to relentlessly pursue, nag, and badger him with prayer. We are not to frantically beg God to answer our prayers. Our approach to prayer should not be anything like the widow's, really, because we are not like the widow and God is not like the unjust judge. Think about it. The judge was self-centered and the only way the nameless widow got to him was by nagging continuously. I'm going to have a nose-blowing pause again. So, if the nagging unnamed widow got her way with a selfish, unjust judge, how much more so will the perfect, just, holy and loving God listen to his loved, chosen and redeemed children? That is the point of this parable. If even the horrible, selfish, unjust judge listened to the absolute nobody, nameless widow, how much more will the loving, perfect, just Father God hear and respond to the requests of his chosen, loved, and redeemed people? God hears us when we pray to him, and he loves it when we do it. In another book of the Bible called 1 John, in chapter 5, verse 14, it says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Which I suspect some of you might now be thinking, yeah, well, that's nice for you, Ryan, all good for you up there to say this stuff, like at the front like you are, but in my life, it's not what I experience. I've tried praying for lots of things in my life. Nothing much seems to happen. I don't get booming voices from heaven. I don't even get the little whispers of response. I don't even feel this peace, you know, that Christians talk about. The crickets chirp. Silence. There's nothing. It feels like I pray to nothing and for nothing. I get that. I honestly do. Just because I'm up the front here teaching from the Bible doesn't mean all my prayers are wonderful experiences with God. Just because I work for a church and do, you know, Christian for a job doesn't make me immune to this. Prayer is hard. Sometimes, yes, it feels useless. Sometimes it feels empty, and then it achieves nothing. But Jesus knew this, which takes us back to the very first sentence of this passage. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. We are not to give up. The point of this story is to show us that even the unjust judge hears the nameless widow. We are to be encouraged that as chosen, loved children of God, our Father, our perfect, just judge will hear us so much more. We might not hear what we want to hear, nor do we always hear it when we want to hear it. But God does listen, and he does respond when we pray. Because again, drawing a contrast to the widow in the story, unlike the widow who approaches the judge alone, we approach God accompanied, side by side, with someone who loves us and who has a full and perfect access to the holy, perfect and just judge. We come to the judge with an advocate, a friend who will plead our case. I can't even blame my cold for this. Romans 8:34 says this: "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." We are not only chosen, loved children of God, we also do not approach the judge of the world alone. Another stands in our place. Another who's perfect, stands before us, another who pleads our case. Jesus Christ, God's very own Son, didn't expect this, who loves us enough to die and be raised again for us. He takes your prayers to God, and God listens. What a comfort this is. I know it doesn't look like it, but it is. God of the universe loves and listens to us. Do not give up praying. God hears you. Jesus speaks on your behalf. Is your prayer life a bit stagnant? Is it dead? Is it dull? Is it non-existent? Do you want to awaken your prayer life or reawaken your prayer life? Ask Jesus to do it for you. Ask him to be Lord of all of you, even your prayer life. Talk to him. Ask him to help you grow your love for it. Ask him to help you see God responding. And then actually pray. Dedicate time to it. You don't need to have like this perfectly silent space, which is dark and has candles and soft worship music on. Sure, that can help be focused and intentional, but just stop and pray. And not just once, but every day, as often as you can, you will see change in your life and in those lives around you who you pray for. You will love God more as you dig deeper and do more of life with him. Do not give up praying, because God hears you. To wrap this up, I'd like to share a song by Matthew West. Spotify just happened, it's a bit funny how this happens, Spotify just happened to put this song in front of me just last week. It's a new release from Matthew West, who I don't listen to that much, but hey, he just released an acoustic version of this song, so it just popped up as my new thing, so I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. It's called Don't Stop Praying. And it captures the heart of this parable incredibly well. When the song is done, I'll leave a good chunk of time for us to just stop and pray. If you've never prayed before, it'll be a great time to simply just do it. Talk to God. It kind of sounds weird, but just talk to him in your head. Share with him whatever comes to mind. Ask Jesus to reawaken your prayer life. Ask him for forgiveness. Simply just be in wonder of who he is. There are so many things to bring before God, so many reasons to praise him. So after the song, please join together in a time of silent prayer. I'll come back and wrap up after a bit. Thanks, Chris.
What's your impossible? Your I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop! Crushed in spirit, the Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Just a little faith. praying for the miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying that addictions end. Don't stop praying for deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Oh, don't stop praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for His power revealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. No, don't stop praying for the kingdom come. Don't stop praying that His will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Lay your knees where out the floor. Don't stop believing, 'cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. Oh, don't stop praying. Don't you give up now. No, don't stop praying.
Heavenly Father, we come before You with grateful hearts. Thankful for the message in today's parable. Thank You for reminding us of the importance of persistent prayer and for showing us that You are a loving and just God who hears our cries. Help us to remember that even when it feels like our prayers are unanswered, that You're always listening, always caring, and always working for our good. We trust in Your timing and Your perfect will. Quote some of the lyrics we just heard. When you're lost, when you're broken, when you're reaching out, know you are not alone. We are not alone, Jesus. You intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. May we find comfort and strength in knowing that You are our advocate, always pleading our case before the Father. Inspire us to never give up, to keep praying, and to trust in Your unfailing love. Fill our hearts with a renewed passion for prayer. Teach us to seek Your presence daily, to pour out our hearts before You, and to listen for Your voice. And as we leave here this morning and go about our lives out there, help us live out the truths that we've learned today, to be persistent in prayer and to trust and know that You hear us and know that You'll answer according to Your perfect plan. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our Advocate. Amen. Cool. We'll wrap up with a song, I believe. Who do you got?
We are going to finish by declaring some truth about our everlasting God. Strength will rise as we wait upon this God. So let's stand and declare these things together.
Strength will rise as we wait upon.